Welcome to Steppin' Out, the 12-step meeting on the air. Tonight you'll meet real people with true stories of addiction and recovery. And now, Steppin' Out.
Hello, America, and welcome. You are listening to Steppin' Out, one of the most unique shows on radio. Each week, Steppin' Out takes you inside a 12-step program. You know, there's something amazing about a 12-step meeting. It's a proven technique to beat addiction. But hey, did you ever wonder just what exactly goes on at a 12-step meeting? Well, you're going to find out right now. I'm your host, Kevin, filling in for Drew. This edition of Steppin' Out will focus on Debtors Anonymous. So you're going to hear real stories of people who took their spending way too far, yet found strength and hope within the fellowship of a 12-step program. Our next guest is Dan. Hello, Dan, and welcome to Steppin' Out.
Hello, Kevin. How are you?
Dan, you're calling in. Where are you calling in from?
Los Angeles.
Okay. So how did you first get involved with overspending?
Well, Debtors Anonymous has not just overspending, but there are other components to it. Money can be a very compulsive thing. Think of it like food. There are people who overindulge. There are people who are anorexic with it. There are people in DA, we have compulsive spenders. We also have what are referred to as under-earners. And so we have people who compulsively spend more income than they take in, compulsively shop. We also have people who compulsively under-earn, if you will. Like, for example, they make financial choices that always end up earning less money than they either need or desire. And then we have people who are just have other kinds of crazy things that they do with money. Some people, they blow it. They binge and they purge with it. So I would think of it in terms of, let's say, food. And Overeaters Anonymous is a good analogy. But what I did is that because I was never a huge spender, because compulsive spending isn't just about buying boats and coats and you know, big ticket items you can't afford. You know, I would consistently spend money without knowing how much money I actually had. And I was so vague with my money, and I was so terminally, I was just so vague. I would, like, you know, I would go to the grocery store, and I would, you know, like, buy money on an ATM card. I would, like, buy groceries, and then the ATM would bounce because I had no idea of actually how much had been in my bank account. So, but where I ended up mostly in DA is because of my under-earning choices. You know, I'm very well-educated. I'm a very bright guy. I have a lot of skills, and I would consistently take jobs that paid me less than I need. And because I didn't bring in enough money, I would therefore end up in debt. And so between the money I was spending that I didn't have and the money I didn't earn because I wasn't working at jobs that paid me at my skill level, I would always end up compulsively debting. And I think that's the most important thing to know about Debtors Anonymous, is that it's not just people who don't have money. It's not just people who are in debt. It's that it's for people who have this compulsion, this disease inside of them that causes them to take actions and not take actions that lead to debting.
So that's a really interesting point that you make, Dan, that it's not just one factor. It's not just one type of person. It could be a lot of different things, compulsive shoppers, like you say, or these compulsive under-earners. Now, with these under-earners, are these people who consciously take a low-paying job just, you know, for some particular reason, or is it just, you know, tell me more about that, you know, these under-earners.
Well, I think there are people who consciously take under-earning jobs. You know, let's say somebody feels like they're being more noble if they work in the nonprofit sector. So maybe they take a job, or maybe some people, they resent people who have money, so they think they're better off if they don't have it. But I think mostly it's subconsciously. You know, most people I know in DA, they make these choices from deep either programming or spiritual or psychological wounds inside of them. And, you know, it's like the only word I can think of is they compulsively repeat the same type of behaviors. For example, they may go from job to job to job, but they keep going from the same type of under-earning job to the next type of under-earning job, where they either work for employers that don't pay market rates, or they don't, if they're self-employed or own businesses, they don't charge market value. Or if they, but a lot of times whatever reason, you know, just compulsively don't bring in enough money. And there's just the facets of under-earning are just amazing.
Now, something about the under-earnings. Does Debtors Anonymous, DA, does that actually help people realize that and get them a better job? Tell us about that.
Well, absolutely. See, Debtors Anonymous, the only requirement for membership in DA is to require to stop debting. Now, when we're in DA, we may discover what, you know, what our patterns are. Some of us discover, oh, wait a minute, you know, I'm always spending, you know, I feel the need to keep up with the Joneses, so I'm always, you know, buying stuff I don't need. Some people will discover that, wait a minute, I never bring in enough money. Some people will discover that, you know, that they're paupers. They're always, you know, just living, you know, poor to poor because they never thought they deserved any better. But I think we all discover our own patterns. And I believe that in the, because I'm also in Alcoholics Anonymous and in the big book of AA, it talks about how, although that we have found a common solution, you know, to our problem, you know, even though we come from all walks of life. And I think in DA, whatever brought us to the compulsion to debt, whether it was compulsive spending, whether it was compulsive under-earning, whatever it was, the common solution that DA brings is, I believe, has helped all of us heal.
Now, tell us about your story. How did you get to DA?
Well, I got to DA because, you know, I'm an actor, and I was never quite brought in enough money to pay all of my bills. So I was never actually that much in debt, actually. I was only $7,000 in debt when I came to DA. There's some people who come into DA with tens of thousands of dollars of debt or more. But I wasn't making my bills, and it was causing me a lot of financial stress and strain, and I ended up throwing out my back. And it was almost kind of a spiritual thing that happened, is that the doctor who I was seeing an acupuncturist and a chiropractor, and they said that they would treat me, and they continue to treat me, provided I went to Debtors Anonymous, so that because I couldn't afford to pay them otherwise. So in that sense, I was 12-stepped into DA, and I started going to meetings, and that was in 1993.
And you've been in the program since?
I've been in program since 1993, correct, 12 and a half years. And but, you know, it took me a while to get it, to be honest, because, you know, I mean, there's that old cliche that people would rather talk about their sex lives than talk about, you know, their money. You know, I had a hard time really admitting that I either needed help or that I needed a spiritual solution to my problem. And, you know, and in February of 1997, I ended up homeless temporarily because my disease just got the best of me. And it wasn't until that point that I was really willing to do something different. In fact, I actually had sort of a Saul of Damascus spiritual moment. And, you know, at that time, what I did was I was on Mount Washington, which is a neighborhood in Los Angeles. I was in my car. I had all my possessions in my car. And I was just kind of sitting there thinking, you know, that my life wasn't worth anything. And I really would like to, you know, just be out of this pain. And so I realized I had to either change or end it all. And I remember I had this moment of stillness. And I just remember thinking, okay, God, I am ready and I am willing to change. I'm willing to do something different. And at that moment, my pager went off. And, you know, how I kept the payments to a pager when I wasn't paying rent, I don't know. But but what happened was is that it was a friend of mine who took me in. You know, when she found out what state I was in, because I was so full of shame that nobody knew what had happened to me. So, but anyway, she took me in, and I had a whole series of miracles that took place where I got a place to stay. I got, you know, help that I needed. I ended up working. I had that moment when I was in my car with my stuff, and I had that moment of surrender where I was like, I actually, like in a little prayer, said, God, I'm willing to do something different. And it was almost as if God had, like, said back to me, okay, you ready to actually, like, begin and start this thing now? And I ended up joining a step study group. I, you know, like a whole bunch of miracles happened, and I got a place to stay, and I started working. And,
Now, when you say there's a step study group, what does that mean?
Well, I mean, what we do in the 12-step program, of course, is we work the 12 steps. Some people, they do that one-on-one with a sponsor in a step study group in any 12-step program. Let's say a group of people decide to work through the steps collectively, sometimes using a workbook. Like, there are different, like, 12-step workbooks that people can find out there. Some of them are published by the program. Some of them you can get at Barnes & Noble or Borders or somewhere. And it's just working through the steps as a group. And That was very transformative. That was very helpful. And I've had a lot of twists and turns in life, and kind of where I'm at now, you know, is that what I realized that I didn't realize then, because when I first got into VA, I thought I would fix all my money problems, and then I would get what I want. And now what I'm realizing is that there's the third step prayer and the seventh step prayer from AA, which we also use in VA, and like what we are brought to recovery so that we can be of service to others. And I realize now that if I have talent, if I have skills, if I have abilities, that they're meant to be of service to others. It's not about me getting necessarily what I want as my ego defines them. And so the surrender that I've been in, and it's what's been making me a very happy person these days of late, is that, you know, I've been rediscovering my acting talent. I put my acting career aside after that moment because I just needed to find work. I needed to get stable. I needed to get back on my feet. And, you know, I moved to New York. I went to grad school. I've actually moved back out to L.A., and I've gone back into acting. I believe that the time is right, but also my attitude is very different. When I was in town and I was in my 20s, it was all about what I was going to make happen to make for me. And now it's like every morning I get on my knees and I pray, what can I do for God? How can my talent serve other people, you know? And I ask God to remove my character defects. I ask him to remove my compulsions, the debt, and under earn. And I ask him, you know, to allow me to be of service through my talent. And it's a much different orientation to living one's day. And so I've been pretty happy. It takes some of the pressure off of me to have to try and, you know, fix the world. And a big part of my recovery also is that I began, you know, I do service. I do a lot of service in VA. I talk to newcomers. We do these things called pressure relief meetings, and that's where a person gets together with two people in the program, usually a man and a woman, who have more experience, and we go over. A person will bring like their finances or some sort of pressure that they're facing, and together, the three of us will try and work on solutions and a plan of action.
Now, I got to tell you, for a lot of listeners out there, a lot of people, even if they're not in Debtors Anonymous, have trouble confronting their finances, where just the thought of balancing their checkbook for that month or their financial statement is just overwhelming. And it sounds like this pressure release meeting is basically just that, confronting your finances and figuring out what's what. It's like getting rid of this vagueness and getting precise, right?
That's absolutely. That's exactly what a pressure release meeting is for. It's literally to remove the pressure, to relieve the pressure. But what we find in DA is that a lot of us were terminally vague. Like I was sharing at the beginning of the show that I never had any idea of how much money I actually had in my wallet or my checking account. Like we start recording our spending, we record our income, we start getting very clear when we work the program, and when we bring our numbers and we bring it and we go over with two other people in the program, you know, we find solutions to our problems. Because you know, you probably heard this before, that the first word and the first step of any 12-step program is the word we.
We,
and, you
right.
know, together we can do what, you know, we couldn't do. You know, we found we were powerless over debt. We found we were powerless over alcohol. We found we were powerless over whatever. You know, and it's a we program. And so what the pressure relief meeting does is that it's, you know, very helpful. And I get as much when I'm sitting in and giving a pressure relief meeting as I do when I'm receiving one. Because the way service kind of works, it seems, in these 12-step programs is that when I'm sponsoring, it's like, it's like things will come out of my mouth that I didn't know that I knew, and so it's great. And you know, so if anybody, you know, out there in the audience thinks that they might have a problem, I mean, if I can recommend the main website for Debtors Anonymous,
sure.
They can check out for themselves.
Sure.
It's www.debtorsanonymous.org, and they'll have like a, you can look for yourself the signs of a compulsive debtor. You can, you know, see what our tools are. You can see, you know, and you can also look up for links to meetings to find out for yourself. You know, and there's also, you know, online meetings and an online fellowship for people who may not, if they're in a rural area or if they're someplace where they're not near a DA meeting near you. So, it, you know, it's a growing program. It's been around since 1976, and it's saved lives. I've seen miracle after miracle after miracle happen in DA.
Now,
and I've seen...
I'm sorry. Now, when you said you had like a spiritual kind of experience, Debt is Anonymous is not like one of these, you know, religious kind of things. It's more an individual spiritual experience, not any one particular faith or anything like that, right? Everybody is unique.
That's correct, Kevin. I mean, you know, nobody in any 12-step program is ever asked to believe anything about God or any particular God or even believe in God itself. There are agnostics and atheists who work 12-step programs. The point is that we're no longer depending upon our own ego's, you know, willpower to make these things happen. It's like when we admit that we're powerless over the compulsion to debt, whether that's whatever causes that compulsion or whatever form that debting takes, when we realize that, then we need to look for something beyond ourselves to do it. And so, you know, I mean, there are people in DA of every religion and people of no religion, the people of all different types of spirituality. So when I'm talking about me having a spiritual awakening, it's a direct connection with a power greater than myself that I call God. It's God as I understand it. And it's really interesting. One of the miracles about any 12-step program is that everybody may find a different conception for what God is. And whatever that is, it still works.
Dan, we only have about a minute left. What advice do you have to anybody out there who really thinks they may have a problem with spending or under-earning?
Oh, I absolutely say check out the website and go to a Debtors Anonymous meeting. Check out your phone book to see if there's an intergroup, you know, and get to a meeting, you know, and whatever, one day at a time, you know, don't debt no matter what, you know. And luckily now that we have ATM, you know, debit cards, you know, credit cards aren't, you know, you can get, I haven't had a credit card in years, so, you know, I get along just fine. So you don't need a credit card and you don't need to debt in order to live a happy, prosperous life.
And one of the best things also is that if a person has a problem with compulsive spending, you have sponsors, people who you can call and they can basically, you know, talk you out of it, really, right?
Absolutely. And I do want to say, though, that even though we're compulsive debtors, we're talking about unsecured debt. People in VA, we do buy, you know, houses and cars. A secured debt is collateralized, meaning that, you know, like if you don't pay your mortgage, they'll take the home away from you. But the point is it's not going to be debt hanging over your head. So let me very specifically make it. It's about unsecured debt.
Okay, Dan, I'm going to have to stop you there. Thank you very much for being our guest. You're listening to Stephanie.